What is the biggest misconception about the worship wars? I've written an article for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Behind the Music, The Real Worship War. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also contains Hisham Chihab's article, From Muslim Extremist to Follower of Jesus. Subscribe to the online Issues, etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Those men that attacked you, they work for dangerous people.
There's a feeling around these parts that these Bondurants is indestructible.
Do you mean immortal?
You any idea what a Thompson submachine gun does to a mortal?
We are survivors. We control the fear. But without the fear, we are all as good as dead. This is a war they're waging. You ain't gonna survive. It is not the violence that sets men apart. It is the distance that he is prepared to go.
Well, I haven't seen it, but certainly sounds interesting. Actually, sounds like my kind of movie. Lots of gunfire and intrigue. We're going to be talking about that movie called Lawless and another one called Premium Rush as we review movies here with Pastor Jonathan Fisk on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 19th, here on Issues Etc. A little bit later, we're also going to be talking about real versus counterfeit spirituality with Pastor Fisk. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is a regular guest. He's pastor for Witness and Youth at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, and author of a forthcoming book, much awaited, titled Broken, Seven Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. Pastor Fisk, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back.
I have not seen this one, Lawless. What's it about?
It's a gangster movie, kind of classic in a sense, but with a little bit of a twist because of its setting. It's set in Virginia during the Depression era, Prohibition, with a little bootlegging family who kind of owned much of the bootlegging market in that area, and then had to compete against the encroach of the cops, especially a cop out of Chicago who wants to put a stop to it, not so much because he thinks it's wrong, but for his own gain, both power and financially and so forth. Kind of a neat genre twist. If you've watched TV shows like Justified, which does some work with a U.S. Marshal down in Kentucky, the mix between the South and then that Chicago gangster thing really provided for a neat setting, and I expected a little bit more out of the movie because of that. Maybe I'm going to be a little unfair because of my expectations for it. I didn't really end up enjoying the movie at all. It's a very depressing film to watch. The violence is almost for its own sake, and even though it tells you it's based on a true story, and it is based on a real family, and some of the events are true, it ends up leaving you just kind of wondering, why did I watch this? So what did I gain from this? At the end of a gangster movie like Heat, I walked away knowing that there had been a battle between good and evil and that you really want a good to win. This movie, I walked away just, again, thinking, you know, who was I cheering for? Do I even care? So it's an interesting film in that way. I don't know if you might want to watch it for that reason, but it's a challenging film to watch, and yet had a lot of potential. Great cast. Gosh, Gary Oldman, Guy Pearce, and I can never remember how to pronounce Shia LaBeouf's last name. Fairly famous guy.
LaBeouf.
I really expected a bit more given everything that was going into this, and it ends up being sort of, it was released in mid-fall, and that's what you get.
Okay, now, what were your expectations here? I'm also a huge fan of this genre of film, and there's so much potential here because there's all these untold stories of kind of the lawless Midwest and South during the times of Prohibition and kind of the gangland violence that spent more time in the Midwest than it did in the big cities. Love that kind of stuff. What were your expectations?
My expectations was, hey, it's going to be a great gangster movie. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of great gangster movies for a while. Hollywood seems to have dropped the genre a little bit. And, you know, in the 90s, there were just a ton of them that came out. And so I was expecting it to use the new context to rehash some old great storylines. There's something to be said for, I don't know if I want to call it Pulp Fiction, but almost a serial-style storytelling where you take a formula, you plug in the right elements, you shoot it well with some good acting, and you get entertainment out of it. You know, you might not change the world, but you're going to get some entertainment. And that's kind of what I was expecting, was some entertainment. And I came away from it again thinking, well, was I supposed to come away thinking that Nietzsche was right, that there is no purpose in life? Was I supposed to come away thinking that I just really want to be a fan of Shia LaBeouf because he's just that cool, and yet his character, there's nothing really enviable or cool about his character at all, except he ends up being the protagonist. There's far more interesting characters in the film. Tom Hardy's character, and really Gary Oldman's character, he's almost a bit part. I just wanted the whole movie to be about him. You know, he comes in at this one scene. He's just phenomenal in this street shootout that happens, and then he disappears, shows up for 5 minutes later in the movie, and that's it. Why? Instead, I'm supposed to watch Shia LaBeouf kind of make a lot of mistakes as a young man is wont to do with some money in his pockets and end up ruining his brother's, you know, chances at life. It just was weird. It was a weird story to tell. And if you're going to go for an art film, then don't bill it as, you know, as a gangster movie. You can still set it in gangster scenery, right? But billing it as a gangster movie led you to expect action, adventure, fun, with a little dark side, and this just came off as art house weirdness and not even done that well.
Well, you mentioned Nietzsche, and I don't necessarily rule a movie out just because it has a nihilistic worldview. I mean, my favorite movie of all time, hands down, and book, is No Country for Old Men. A very violent, you could call it a gangster movie if you wanted to.
Sure.
Texas gangster movie. It's a nihilistic worldview, but it had a moral center. I mean, the whole you are struck the entire movie how wrong everything is going, and kind of the moral voice of that movie, the sheriff, he knew how wrong everything was going too. This movie apparently lacks this.
Yeah, that really would put it down. Nobody has a clue what's going on. The closest thing is the older brother, who is very compelling as a character. That's Tom Hardy's character, and he's played wonderfully. I mean, you want to like the guy, and yet at the end of the thing, he is almost like this clown death, a tragic clown, because he survives these amazing onslaughts throughout the movie, and at the end, there's this epilogue where he just kind of like falls in the lake and dies of pneumonia, and you're just left going, what? And it's the true story. That's the true story part. They're trying to like play the history up. Okay, well, that's fine. But then where was the learning? I learned nothing. I did not grow through the film, and maybe that is my final judgment of even most entertaining films, is that I want to grow a little bit. And I felt like I took a small step backwards after this thing.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the concerns that Christian parents and Christians in general ought to have when it comes to movies like this that are as violent as this. And then we'll talk about Premium Rush. How can we fill the 400-year gap between the Old and New Testaments? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September is the Apocrypha, the Lutheran edition with notes. You can find out more about this new resource at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Apocrypha by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September, the Apocrypha, the Lutheran edition with study notes.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Karl Rove has a reputation for being the political guru who helped elect President George W. Bush and others to office. But evidence is surfacing he's no friend to America's unborn babies. Recently, Mr. Rove joked about pro-life Missouri Senate candidate Todd Akin being mysteriously murdered. Now it's come out Rove played an important part in persuading the Komen Foundation to reverse its course and once again fund Planned Parenthood. This detail surfaced in a newly released book called Planned Bullyhood. It's a great read and an insider's view of how events unfolded within Komen as they first pulled funding of Planned Parenthood only to reinstate it 72 hours later. Mr. Rove played a cheerleading part for the abortion giant. Karl Rove isn't what he claims to be.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, etc. To find out how you can become an Issues, etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues, etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're doing a little movie review with Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, talking about the movie Lawless in just a minute, Premium Rush. Then we'll discuss real versus counterfeit spirituality before the hour is out. Jonathan, we ought to do this on every movie we talk about. We've talked about the worldview of Lawless. Let's talk about some concerns that Christians might have in viewing this movie.
Yeah, well, like I mentioned, this was one of those instances where because there was no like learning taking place, there was no growth, there was no questioning of deep truths, I became increasingly distraught by the amount of violence that was in it, because it was at times violence for its own sake, and to what for me personally was almost a sickening level a couple of times, stuff I just didn't really need to see. And so this is a movie where, I mean, unless you are just wanting to explore the dark side of American nihilism, or you are such an avid gangster fan that you have to be able to talk about every gangster movie ever, this is not one I would encourage Christians to go see. There's really not much you're going to get out of this. It takes that violence from being a servant of the plot. Well, it did serve the plot, but servant of the plot for the sake of growth, and becomes almost a glorification of it for its own sake, as if maybe in the midst of the nihilism, it's just the violence survive and the warmongering win. It's challenging in that way, and something that Christians should be a little wary of watching just for fun, per se.
I like to ride. Fixed gear. No brakes. Can't stop. Don't want to either.
We got him.
Riley, I got a package for you. It's Premium Rush. Don't screw it up.
All right, there's a little bit of the trailer from Premium Rush. Breaking Away meets A Man on a Ledge, something like that. An action movie that centers around a bicycle messenger. Okay, Jonathan, tell us the story.
Yeah, well, you know, this was what I would call a really good B movie. I was kind of surprised again. I guess it's mid-fall, so you can't expect too much of Hollywood's best to be coming out. So it had its moments where I was like, yeah, I could probably watch this at home and be just as excited as I am to be in the theater. It is about a kind of a neat concept. You have these bike messengers in Manhattan, New York area. I think they are in San Francisco too. You know, compacted cities that can be gotten around on a bike faster than you can in a car. And they're the main character is like this kind of hero of them. He's won the races that they hold every year for so many years and so forth. And he ends up getting involved with this attempt by a dirty cop to get a hold of the package that's being delivered, which has to do with the personal life of an Asian woman and some Asian mafia stuff that is not really focused on the mafia much, but they do kind of come into play a little bit. The cop has a gambling problem, which is part of how it all gets put together. You know, it's a fascinating story. A lot of shots of bike action, lots and lots of images of just going through the traffic or doing a jump, doing something crazy on a bike. So almost an action movie, and yet at the same time, if you compare that to most action films, it almost was a little bit tame. If you're a fan of bikes, you might find some of the stunt work that has to be done interesting, or at least something you could critique. But again, a B movie. It just didn't have the plot or the pizzazz or the acting really to drive you to say, yeah, this is a hit, this is something I got to go see at the theater. A big screen didn't really add anything to it. I was also really surprised Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who's in it as the main character, is also in an upcoming one I'm looking forward to a lot called Looper, which is kind of a sci-fi action, a detective-y kind of thing. And I was surprised to see this come out before that with him in it, because it almost made me question if I should go see Looper, because it just, well, if this was what he's working on at the same time, maybe his choosing of films is not picking the best screenplays. Of course, now I lost his name. Bruce Willis will get me to go see Looper anyway, because I like Bruce Willis a lot. So
okay, so we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
I like the, is this kind of guy, ordinary guy, wrong place, wrong time kind of a movie? Because I think that's a great way to start a movie.
Yeah, it is. It is. And again, there's nothing wrong with this film. It's just something you probably would rent. Right? This is the kind of film that you're going to see showing up in your Netflix queue, you know, for a watch instant download that you didn't see in a theater. That's the only thing that was wrong with it, is it didn't really belong in the theater. But it would be fine to just kind of rent and enjoy with some popcorn and even your wife. There's a love interest involved. His fiance / girlfriend, who he's kind of on the outs with, she's also a bike messenger, and they kind of have this in and out, and then they make up at the end thing through the whole catastrophe that they have to go through together to get this package delivered and save the day. So there's a little romance in there too. It's just, you know, it's popcorn on the couch kind of movie. But that's its weakness then. If you're going to go spend $10 on this thing in the theater, it's like, well, yeah, not really a winner in that category.
In terms of issues that might bear upon the Christian conscience, is there anything there to talk about?
There is, although they're not deep in any way. The antagonist, with this dirty cop, he does take violence and or just despicableness to a rather disturbing level, but it does bring into you know, you can ask questions about authority, the abuse of authority. Also, I don't want to give away the plot too much, but the purpose of this package does tug on the heartstrings a little bit with some questions about human rights and suffering in foreign countries and things like that. But the movie never really pursues these things, so they're there as things Christians could be interested in, but they're never really followed up on. The main thing is he's riding a bike really fast, and there's some other people riding bikes really fast, and they don't want to get hit by cars for, you know, 2 hours or so.
Okay, broadening this to something I know that you've been thinking about a lot and you've been writing about a lot lately, the issue of counterfeit spirituality. How does someone know, someone listening to us, Jonathan, know if they've got a counterfeit spirituality?
Yeah, well, especially with counterfeit Christianity. You know, Luther talked about this, although not really in those terms, but he called it one of the highest arts that there is, and he said he's not yet a doctor of it. To know the difference between God's law and God's gospel, when reading scripture or hearing preaching or listening to teaching, or even when looking at a secular movie, to know the difference between a worldview or a teaching that points you back to yourself and your heart, your mind, or your hands, your actions, your feelings, or your thoughts as kind of the answer to life's questions, And the answer which God gives, which is that you're not the answer, and you can't find the answer, you can't make the answer, you can't do the answer is Jesus, and he's done it already for you. He's going to continue doing it to you through his word, through his sacraments, by his spirit. Distinguishing between those two things as you observe teaching in all aspects of life, as well as observe how you live in your vocation day to day, that is the main pursuit of Christian discipleship. And so as you pursue that teaching of law and gospel and learn to understand it, hear it, believe it, apply it, then it becomes a tool for discovering what you could call counterfeit Christianity. When a preacher gets up and he tells you that this teaching from the Old Testament or this teaching from Jesus is really about how you need to emphasize your prayer life more, because the more you pray, the more God's going to be close to you. You can hear in that the sinner, well, who's the subject, kind of like the Issues, Etc. sermon diagnostic, who's the subject here of what's going on? What am I being taught to put my hope, my trust, my reliance on? Is it what God has said? Is it who Jesus is, or is it about me? And, you know, this is the way these lies can be spread, can be as wide and varied as creativity can go. There's a lot of different spices that can be used to twist this thing. But it always comes back to that simple distinction between law and gospel, which, on the one hand, a child can kind of learn to say what it is. On the other hand, one of the greatest theologians of all time, Dr. Luther, can rightly say, I'm not yet a master. And I'd say, woe to the person in our generation that wants to compete with Dr. Luther and say, well, I am. Because we aren't. We are still all tempted and challenged by our own sinfulness to look inward rather than to receive the Christ who is outside of us.
You're talking, you know, very directly to our audience, because we hear from them all the time. A significant portion of our audience have found themselves unwittingly bought into a counterfeit Christianity. And the way they usually kind of realize it is when they find themselves coming up for error on a regular basis, just saying, not only is this is getting me nowhere, this is killing me.
Yeah.
These house rules, this constant advice that I, as innocuous as it is, I can't even keep. This there's got to be something more to Jesus than this.
Yeah. Rod Rosenblatt likes to say that the law in these kinds of situations is not the hard 200 proof law of the Ten Commandments. Here, this is good, follow it, or you're evil. I mean, you do that, you're obviously evil. So instead, what you end up getting is this sort of toothless old man law, which is all this little advice, this nagging advice. And the thing is, it's almost worse, because you don't know that you're getting killed. It's gumming you to death. But nonetheless, it is gumming you to death very gradually. And next thing you know, you're on the verge of atheism. You're on the verge of total despair. You're still going to church. You see everybody else smiling and singing the happy songs, and you don't know what's wrong. And unless the Spirit of God sends a word to you at that point through the confession that a Christian friend makes to you, or through the preaching that you hear, whether on radio or wherever, you're pretty much doomed. Man does not have this answer in himself. You're not going to just pipe up and find salvation in your own heart. Now, you could, I suppose, find it by reading Paul's Gospel to the Rome, or Paul's Epistle to the Romans, Galatians, and so forth. But even then, you're going to ask, "Am I crazy for thinking this? No one else is saying this. Where can I find this preached?" It's the need to hear that word preached that is the one hope that we have.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is our guest. We're talking about real versus counterfeit spirituality. He's author of a forthcoming book titled Broken: 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break. Stay tuned. What is the biggest misconception about the worship wars? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Behind the Music, The Real Worship War. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also contains Hisham Chihab's article, From Muslim Extremist to Follower of Jesus. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskuta, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri. And Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. 10 more minutes with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. We're talking about real versus counterfeit spirituality on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 19th. In hour two of Issues, Etc., Dr. Andrew Steinman joins us. We will delve a little deeper into the Issues, Etc. book of the month for September, the Apocrypha, the Lutheran edition with notes. We'll take up one of the books that deals with some of that intertestamental history, First Maccabees, and then we'll round off today's program talking with Dr. R. Scott Smith about evolution's fatal flaw. He says you don't even really have to discuss evolution per se. You just have to deal with its naturalistic presupposition, and it starts to fall apart under its own weight. We'll find out how in about a half hour here on Issues, Etc. Jonathan, you spoke before, mentioned Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, a regular guest here on the program, and he's often said that this counterfeit spirituality, counterfeit Christianity, is basically breeding the next generation of atheists. Are there atheist missionaries, so to speak, waiting to welcome with open arms the refugees from counterfeit Christianity?
Yeah, I think so. From what I've seen, both on the internet, especially on the internet, but then also a little bit in the mass media, there is a very active goal set by modern atheism, a new atheism, as it were, to reach out and try to convince fundamentalist Christians, evangelical Christians, liberal Christians, or anybody that they can find to listen to them, to convert. And they're very active about it. And sadly, this counterfeit Christianity theology we've been talking about primes people for that for a variety of reasons, but the despair maybe being the biggest one. You get to the point where you've been told so many times to try to find God in yourself, and you can't. You keep finding instead yourself and this great evil within, that you start to doubt on your own whether this whole thing is not just some big mythology. And then along comes a semi-well-prepared atheist with a few apologetic tactics to talk about how the Bible's just a book written in the Middle Ages, and God is just a phantom that was created by pagans to try to make them feel good about the rain, and you're willing to buy it because it gives you hope. Gives you a little bit of control again. You no longer have to feel that guilt. You can smooth that over by telling yourself, I was just lying to myself the whole time. And they're incredibly active. Their need to make converts is almost stronger. Well, not almost. It seems stronger than what most modern Christians deal with. You've got a lot of modern Christians that have no desire to go out and make converts. The atheists know that they got to do it. As one of my friends, former atheist named Paul Pierce used to say, or has said to me in the past, he knew he had to make converts because it was his way of justifying to himself his own philosophy. If he could convince other people that he was right, then he could know he was right after all. And as long as he could keep doing that, he would comfort himself in his own atheism. But the moment that he couldn't find people to convince and convert to his way of thinking, he started to doubt himself again, as maybe he'd stepped off the other end. So, yeah, the atheist movement is very, very, it's not agnostic, it's pretty active in its goals to make sure that agnostics and Christians alike come over to their camp and face the music, that dark, sad music that we're just products of random chance dwelling in the midst of nothing.
Well, and here's the thing that I think is so effective as not so much the lure of that kind of post-Christian atheism, but perhaps the foot they know they already have in the door. I think they look in at Pop American Christianity, and they say, what are they pushing? They're basically teaching people how to be nice.
Yep.
Good, decent people. And the atheist simply says to that refugee, hey, you don't have to have all this Jesus creation, God stuff. You could still be that good person you always wanted to be.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is a pretty convincing argument, especially if you're any kind of mystic or even a liberal rationalist Christian, where all that you're really clinging to now is the presence of God for the sake of a feeling, or the church as do-gooder organization. You start to look at these things in a realistic way, and there is no reason to be a Christian. Once you remove the cross of Christ and his suffering present for you in priest, word, and sacrament as justifying power in the midst of a world of death, Christianity falls on its face. What did Paul say? If Christ is not raised, we are still in our sins and we have no hope. Might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we'll die. In that way, I think the atheists are a little bit dishonest too, because their whole system doesn't really have a reason to be nice per se. I think they'd be a little more honest to say, eat, drink, be merry, tomorrow we die. That's really where that leads. But absolutely, you're spot on in that understanding.
So they often say that when it comes to counterfeit money, those who are trained to recognize it study the real deal. That way, when the counterfeit shows up, they spot it. How do we go about not only spotting the counterfeit, but what's the real deal?
Yeah, that's something that in the book Broken, I really am going to try to deal with. You know, we do several of the chapters are dealing with the counterfeit lie, the way that the devil spins his single lie, which is to point to the law rather than the gospel, over and over again. But you don't ever want to just say, you know, I'm gonna figure out the plans of the devil. We want to go at this the other way around. We want to know what God's plan is. The more you know that God's plan is, the more the devil's plan is just going to sound like a false dream. And so how do you do this? Well, you become a participant in word and sacrament ministry, faithfully given. You become a disciple in the sense that you become a learner of the word, a theologian, a knower of God, and seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues, etc. is so great. I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it. That's what Christians have to seek out. They got to demand it from their pastors, got to demand it from the Bible studies and the pulpit alike, and then feed themselves as well through as many of the mass media forms that are out there, whether it's Worldview Everlasting, Table Talk Radio, Pirate Christian Radio. All these things are there for the sake of building up your faith and confidence in the true teaching of God's Word, so that when someone comes along with that false teaching, you're at the very least going to be see like, I'm pretty sure that's wrong. I can't even tell you why it's wrong, but I know there's something smelly going on over there. This happened with that Behe video a while back, the I Like Jesus But Hate Religion thing that he did.
Yeah.
There were a lot of Christians that knew something was wrong. They were really disturbed by it, but nobody quite knew why. They couldn't quite figure it out. Well, the reason they knew something was wrong is because they'd been feasting at the right trough. They'd been drinking from the pure water and eating from the green grass. He comes along with some soggy oats, and they're like, wait a minute, I smell some worms in that. I don't know what it is. And then they went off and they sought somebody to tell them, here's what it is. It's denying the proper distinction of law and gospel. He's pointing you back to yourself. Heck, he's saying, it's not about you, but by the way, it's all about you, right? And so people, you know, who sought out that teaching then were able to defend themselves. You defend yourself by seeking out that pure teaching in season and out, whether you're hearing, whether you're having good times or bad times. You want to constantly under a ever-learning process to get deeper and deeper into the distinction between law and gospel.
What do you say to the person listening to us right now that Rosenblatt would call the person broken by the church, church in quotations there, the person who was riding high for a long time, who thought they had it all figured out, they were in the right church because it was giving them the right experience, but it isn't working anymore. And they're seeking some kind of permanent comfort, not just how the song's going to make them feel or how that little bump that they get after 2 hours of church on Sunday morning. What do you say to them?
Well, aside from the fact that I wrote the book for them and that they should buy my book because it's for you, and literally it's for you, you got to seek out a church where you're going to hear Christ placarded as the salvation answer to everything all the time, where the preacher is going to constantly be bringing Christ out of Scripture, whether it's Old or New Testament. So the best way to do that, I know Issues Etc. has a list of good churches. There's good churches in the LCMS that aren't on that list. There's good churches in the country that aren't LCMS. You got to go visit a Lutheran church, knock on the door, talk to the pastor, say, hey, pastor, do you preach Christ and Him crucified and know nothing else? And then if he says yes, then say, hey, I need some help. You got to start talking to me. I'm a Christian, but I feel like I'm about not to be, and I'm not sure why. Tell me why. Help me out here. Give me some good stuff. Get into that that pastor's life as far as the Bible studies that he's teaching, and hear Jesus preached. The Spirit works not just through the written words of the page. We would never say that the Spirit's not active in the Scriptures. He's the author of the Scriptures. But it's made for you to hear. You need to hear these words audibly spoken over you and to you, and be engaged in a conversation about it as well, where you can ask questions and have those questions answered. That only happens in church and Bible study under a pastor who does say, yes, law and gospel, different things. Here, let me show you why.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is pastor of Witness and Youth at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, and he's author of a forthcoming book titled Broken, Seven Christian Rules Every Christian Ought to Break. You can pre-order Broken by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The book costs $16.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can also browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Broken, Seven Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break by Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Jonathan, thank you again.
Hey, it's been fun. Thanks.
When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. We're going to spend some time with Dr. Andrew Steinman delving into the Apocrypha. It's this little-known book between the Testaments that fits beautifully between the Old and New Testament, but does not exactly rise to the caliber of them as Scripture. But it's useful. And some of the most useful things in the New Testament are the history that we read of the Apocrypha, the history that we read there. And we'll get into 1 Maccabees with Dr. Andrew Steinman, an hour two of Issues, Etc. Then we're going to spend the better part of that second hour with Dr. R. Scott Smith, talking to him about the evolution's fatal flaw. Now, this flaw doesn't deal with Darwin. It doesn't deal with the generation of species. It doesn't deal with natural selection. It deals with something even more basic in evolution's bloodstream, in its DNA, if you will, something called the naturalism. And it is, in and of itself, logically self-refuting, but it's also pervasive. It's all around us. And sadly, many Christians even bought into this worldview as well. We'll take it apart and see how it doesn't work when we come back for hour two of Issues, Etc. I know what it's like. You've been trying your hardest. The high that you used to get on Sunday morning, it's not as high as it was before. And you think, something wrong with me? And there's that pastor up there and all those people smiling and grinning and singing. And maybe he's even telling you, well, if it's not as good as it used to be, there is something wrong with you. Well, let me tell you, there is. But the answer to it isn't going back to that church. The answer is going to a church where you will find Christ and Him crucified for you. Your problem is sin, and the only answer is the sinless Savior, Jesus. We'll be right back with Hour 2.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
How would you like to win a 4-CD set of 45 Reformation hymns? It's titled Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church. Now here is how you enter this contest. First, like the Facebook fan page for Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, facebook.com/Lutheran Public Radio. Second, post an invitation for your Facebook friends to listen to Lutheran Public Radio. And third, send the text of your Facebook post and the number of your Facebook friends to contest@issuesetc.org. We'll give away this 4-CD set, Heirs of the Reformation, to the contestant with the best Facebook post and to the contestant with the most number of Facebook friends. We'll announce the winner on Monday, October the 1st. Participate in a Facebook contest for Lutheran Public Radio during the month of September.